Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, the man who covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram, and he joins us every Monday at 11. He is Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
How are you guys doing?
We're good. You can read all of Scott's work at brownzone.com. So yesterday, and I think Odell said it pretty well, we're trying to figure out why we didn't win. That's interesting to me because they think, wait a minute, we should be winning these football games. Easy answer is turnovers and penalties, right? What else, Scott?
Well, I think there was a bad decision at the end of the first half by Coach Freddie Kitchens to speed up there and try to score quickly and stop Seattle and get the ball back for two scores when there was only less than 2 minutes left in the half. But I think overall, you know, when stuff goes bad, the Browns are having a hard time kind of stopping the bleeding. You know, they have a turnover, and it doesn't become just one turnover. It becomes four. You know, they miss a tackle, and it becomes more than one missed tackle. They get a bad call, and they can't overcome it. Bad stuff happens during football games. You have to be able to overcome that, and the Browns just haven't done that nearly enough. And I think that's why they're 2-4. You know, I mean, we could break down the turnovers. We can break down Baker Mayfield. But I think that's part of it. And, you know, they think they have all the talent in the world, which maybe they do. And I don't know if that gives them a false insecurity or, you know, an overconfidence, but it just hasn't shown up in the results that everyone expected it to.
Where are we with Baker Mayfield right now? Just as you look at him and you try to assess where he is here at the bye, and there have been some pretty low moments, but there's been some moments where you might be like, all right, now I get it. Now I know why I feel the way I do. Well, give me your overall take on Baker.
Well, I think with the start to the game yesterday, we see how you need to play with Baker, especially with the way this team's constructed, right? We all have doubts about this offensive line, but if you get the ball out of Baker's hands early, quickly, and you can run the ball somewhat effectively, then Baker's not running for his life in the backfield, right? He wasn't hit yesterday, according to the official stats, which is a huge difference from everybody piling on the line Monday night against San Francisco. So the quick passing game, you get the ball in your playmaker's hands, you figure out a way to get the ball to Odell on normal routes, right? He ran outs, he ran hooks, he ran slants, and you get the ball in your playmaker's hands. I think that's how Baker needs to succeed this year. The question with Baker, and it's been here all year, and it's a head-scratcher because of his track record in college and as a rookie, is why he's not as accurate as he has been and as he needs to be. You know, and these interceptions aren't all his fault. But I'm just rewatching the game, and that throw, the interception to Landry in the red zone at the end of the first half. You know, live I thought, oh, it's a tight window. It wasn't that tight a window. It was a bad throw. If he puts it in front of him, I think it's a touchdown. Instead, it's whether it's a half yard or a yard behind him, the defender gets his hand in there, it turns into a tipped interception. And we've seen that too many times. We see a 3rd and 9, and Odell's open, and Baker throws it off his, you know, off his back shoulder, and it's a really difficult catch that's not made. I just think Baker's ball placement needs to be better, and all of a sudden this offense will look even better than it did. It will look as good as it did early in the game yesterday when they were able to march up and down the field.
Scott, I agree with you on that, because if you're throwing even just slightly behind a guy, he has to stop his momentum to make that catch. It gives the defensive player a chance to come over and disrupt the catch. And then you're not going to get many yards after the catch in those situations. If you're hitting Odell Beckham in stride, man, we know what can happen when you hit Odell Beckham in stride, and I don't think we're seeing enough of it.
No, I completely agree. And, you know, we haven't gotten a great answer for why Baker struggled with the accuracy. You know, you look at that red zone interception, I'm going to go back to the one to Jarvis Landry, and it doesn't look like his feet were set right. Like, it just looks like his rhythm is off. And maybe he feels just a tick off, you know, a tick. He either doesn't trust the offensive line or his drop isn't quite the depth it should be, so therefore his timing is off. It just doesn't quite feel there. And I think sometimes it gets sloppy, and, you know, plenty of quarterbacks do, but you can't have those in big moments. And he's right that the breaks aren't going their way, and every tip ball turns into an interception. That's unlucky, and you expect that to turn at some point. But he can control a lot of that by making better throws.
When do you think we're ever going to see Denzel Ward and Greedy Williams again?
They do play for the Browns, right?
Yeah, I see him in the locker room, so yeah.
Oh, well, that's good.
I saw him practice a little bit, yeah. I think it'll be October. Greedy tweeted right before the game that I'll see you against the Patriots. I would expect Denzel Ward to be the same. You know, it feels like it's the same kind of injury. I mean, obviously, it's two different guys and two different bodies. But they got hurt within 10 minutes of each other, so they feel like they're on the same schedule to come back. You know, they could have forced him out there yesterday. I think the decision was, let's give him that extra 2 weeks because of the bye and bring him back against New England. So I'd be surprised if they're not both out there that day.
How much of a difference will it make when they both step on the field together?
You know what? I mean, obviously, they're two high picks, so it should have make a significant difference. I do think that the corners that played for him, Carey and Mitchell, did a really good job. But I thought yesterday you saw a little bit of a drop-off from what you'd expect from Denzel and Greedy to T.J. Carey. I don't think he had his best game yesterday. And he plays really hard and he's physical. But there were receptions and completions that I thought, you know what, maybe if Denzel was out there, this wouldn't have happened. And I think that just is natural when you have to play a backup for four straight games. It's finally going to catch up to you. But that doesn't diminish what they did when they were forced into play. And I think it does speak to John Dorsey building some depth in what's a critical position. And they were able to get through without their top two guys, without it being, you know, the reason that they lost games.
Scott Petrak joining us. You can read his work at brownzone.com. What is it with this team inside the 10-yard line? Not even the red zone, inside the 10, Scott, that they're not able to come up with something to put the ball into the end zone.
Yeah, and it's really mystifying. And Baker was so good down there last year that the drop-off just doesn't seem to make a ton of sense. And I'm sure play calling has a factor. I do think they need to figure out a way to get the ball to Odell Beckham. I think sometimes Baker says, oh, he's going to be double covered and doesn't look at him when there's an opportunity to get him the ball. You know, and the one time they try yesterday was third and one, you know, right before that crazy sequence on the fourth and one and the penalty and the challenge and all that. And they throw a fade out of bounds on third and one. You know, I think that's the wrong time to try to get, the wrong way to try to get Odell the ball in that situation. I think there were other opportunities where he's one-on-one outside and you could have thrown a different kind of fade ball to him. And then I think it comes down to, you know, sometimes they go empty, and why do they go empty and not give the at least threat of Nick Chubb out of the backfield? I think Baker needs to make better decisions. You know, you flash back to that Rams game, and he had Landry cutting across, and he doesn't see him, and he throws to Harris, which is a low-percentage play. So I think all that factors in, but obviously it's affecting the outcomes of these games because you need touchdowns. You know, that fourth down sequence wind up not being a huge deal in the game because of the shank punt, and then they wind up scoring anyway to take the lead. But it could have been, and then you question everything about how can you not score from, you know, the 1 yard line with three cracks at it. And even the handoff that they ran to Nick Chubb on that fourth and one after the challenge was overruled, it was a bad play call. It's like they ran it to be outside and there was nothing there, and he tried to cut it back and it was no good. And, you know, Nick Chubb's going to make every inch that he can. It just wasn't there, and I was fine with the run. I didn't like the run call there. I thought it should have been a quick hitter instead of, you know, trying to go off tackle to the right.
Did I miss something? Or it seemed more than a few times that when Baker was kind of seemed to be locked in on somebody and it wasn't Odell, that Odell was open, like it looked like twice in the end zone for a quick slant or something. I'm not hallucinating on that, am I?
No, you're not. And I'm worried about kind of reading too much into that because so much goes into, right, you know, the decision of where to throw the ball. And sometimes the play call is my first read is to the right. So if Ricky Seals-Jones or Jarvis Landry has single coverage to the right and it looks like he's going to beat this guy, there's no need to look to the left to Odell Beckham, right? You go through your reads. But, Jeff, there's no doubt you're correct that there's plenty of plays where you go, man, Odell had single coverage there. You know, and I, you know, we're up in the press box and I got the angle, and before the snap you say, well, he's got Odell one-on-one here. And sometimes it's a handoff, right? So you just don't have, you don't take advantage of that play, and that's fine. It's a run call. But I do think Baker's still working through the balance of not forcing it to Odell, but also recognizing what's the coverage Odell's getting on every snap. You know, it almost feels like that should be part of the pre-snap routine is, let's say, you know, you sometimes you identify where guys are on defense. How about identifying where Odell is, what the matchup is, and then thinking about altering a play call to take advantage of some of those one-on-one opportunities?
I don't want to get into the referees because I just kind of – look, there were some bad calls yesterday, some bad ones. Yeah. So let me throw one really quick thing at you. Jeff and I were talking about this at the beginning of the show. Larry Ogunjobi got called on a roughing the passer on 2nd and 22 in the second quarter. I don't know if you remember that. And he kind of just he was pulling back up. He took his hands. He hit the front and the back. And then Wilson ends up falling. And, if there's ever a time to take a dive, that'd be a great time to do it. Jeff and I were just saying, why don't we have a running into the quarterback penalty, which would be less severe? Because if that's what that would have been the case in that play, because it wasn't roughing. It was more like running into. What do you think of that idea?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting idea. I kind of like it at first thought. But my overall thought is we've had these rules in place for long enough that these pass rushers need to know that if the guy's throwing the ball, pull up. And I thought on that play, Larry Ogunjobi didn't need to even contact Russell Wilson there, but he chose to.
Okay.
I get that these guys want to hit the quarterback. I didn't think that was necessary.
Fair enough.
Bye week, Patriots. Enjoy your time off. We'll chat with you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, fellas.
All right, we'll Scott Petrak joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Chronicle Telegram. You can read all of Scott's work at brownzone.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.